Okay.
Yeah, that's the name of that little segment. The little drum roll. Get us blood rushing ready to go on the radio. You have tuned in to a voice of a people. My name is Linda Sims, and this is live on WGH Talk. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download from your Play Store an app called TuneIn. Just type it in, T-U-N space I-N, on any electronic device, and then search WWGH, and it's free, and you will have WWGH on your electronic device, whichever it is, or be a part of the conversation today by calling now, 740-383-9944. For questions or comments, let me share with you, it's an honor to me, those who faithfully support a voice of a people, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lay Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce. Every third Saturday of every month, this takes place October the 15th, beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please take advantage of this opportunity and share this good news with other people. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio. Phone there, 740-262-0939. And those of you who faithfully listen to A Voice of a People, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for tuning in. And share that news with other people that they may be able to support A Voice of a People as well. And if it's your first time, I pray it is not your last time. Announcements. Registration to vote is open, so please register to vote. Once you register to vote, will you vote? And vote. Go vote. Do homework. Find out who's running, what they believe, and you can also find out how they vote. So please take the advantage of registration. Let your voices be heard. Your opinions be heard. Those things that really matter deep within you, about your life and the life of your children and your children's children. If they take this right away from us, and then you're going to say, well, I was going to vote, and then all of a sudden I can't vote anymore. So let us not sit around and use that for an excuse. Let us, or my vote doesn't matter anyway, so I'm not going to vote. Yes, every voice is important. Every voice needs to be heard. And we can't hear you if you're not going to vote. We want to hear you, okay? Next announcement, a conversation with Damon Mosley. This takes place today, Thursday, September the 22nd. It begins at 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Guest moderator, Johnny Jackson. He is from the Diversity and Equity Supervisor of Marion City Schools. Takes place Delaware Main Library, 84 East Winter Street, Delaware, Ohio. You have to register to attend. So, last but not least, we will be honoring Mary Ellen Withrow, October the 2nd, 2022 at 5 p.m. All occasions gathering. Please join us for the induction of Mary Ellen Withrow into the Marion County Hall of Fame on her 92nd birthday. Tickets are $35. must be purchased in advance. You have to check with Ohio Historical Society to see if it's not too late to purchase your tickets. That number is 740-387-4255. Mary Ellen Winthrop. What a lady. What a lady. I love to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled, Fewer Dreams Lead to Greater Contentment. Fewer dreams. I guess that means fewer expectations from us, right? Leads to greater contentment. I guess that's how I see it right now. Let me... Well, you know, it was just here. You know what I don't like about emails? They load so many at one time, and then you lose where you were. Well, looks like I will be going with the same one I had earlier. What was that? Was that personal change? Was that yesterday's? All right, we'll go with personal change. Maybe I talked about this the last hour. But I'm telling you, that surely disappeared. When you do not upset yourself thinking about how others must change and instead you concentrate on your own change, good things start to happen. First, you will feel better about yourself. Second, you will start to have positive feelings toward others and start to understand them. Third, others start having a more positive attitude towards you. There are many hidden benefits in personal change. Thought for today. Now, I turn my attention to my guest today, Jeff Porter,
author
of Expressions of the Last Days. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing just fine.
You're fired up and ready to go this hour?
Yep.
All right, let it rip.
Well, I wanted to tell you that over the years, since I was driving the bus, I had high blood pressure. I believe it's because of stress.
Could be.
You know, and plus I was a smoker at the time. Anyways, God has since delivered me from smoking and is healing. I don't have high blood pressure anymore.
It's
probably because he delivered me from smoking and I'm not as overweight as I was.
Right.
So, and I'm not as stressed as I was.
Right.
So, I just wanted to tell you about that miracle. And I've had diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and it seems to be disappearing. According to the digits. So praise God, huh?
Amen.
Amen. We have to believe in miracles.
Oh, I do.
You know, because I have to, because I've had miracles happen to me. You know, God healed me of post-traumatic stress and delivered me from smoking. So, I woke up one morning and no longer had the desire to smoke, and I never smoked a cigarette since then.
So, really struggle with that.
I did. I tried to quit about a million times. Different stuff. I used the patches. I used the nicotine gum and all that. And a friend of mine who thought my smoking was just ridiculous of me to even try. Because I like sucked on lollipops. I tried cold turkey. You know, all of this stuff. I was always trying to quit smoking. And people, it actually became a joke. But after I left the buses, I wanted to question God about that, because he didn't deliver me from smoking until after I quit the buses.
Really?
Yeah. So I was no longer driving the bus, then he delivered me from smoking. So I asked him, why didn't you deliver me from smoking while I was driving? But I don't know. I still don't know. That's up to him. At least he did deliver me. You know. Well, if we go back to what we were talking about, Nebuchadnezzar was in charge of Babylon. Babylon came along as a judgment on Israel. Because Israel was sinning too much. So Babylon, God rose up Babylon. And it became a severe enemy of Israel. It eventually conquered Israel. And that's when we started having, at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, Nebuchadnezzar had visions, and God interpreted them, but Belshazzar took over after Nebuchadnezzar passed away. And he was sitting in this upper room. You know, they went in. When Babylon conquered Israel, they went into the temple and took away all of the golden vials and golden cups and so on, everything that had any value. And they just took it and put it in a big room and just left them there in this storage area. I mean, what you going to do with them? I guess you could melt them down and to use them for something, but they decided, I think God prevented that. So Belshazzar was sitting in this room, surrounded by his concubines, his women, and he was drinking wine. He was totally destroyed, drunk, and, you know, just singing and stuff and partying. All of a sudden, this hand appeared to be writing something on the wall. That's where we get that saying, you know, why can't you read the handwriting on the wall? And it said, mine, mine, to kill Apharzan, which means your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting. It falls short. It will be conquered, therefore, and handed over to the Medes and the Persians. And that's exactly what happened, but he couldn't figure out what mine, mine, to kill Apharzan meant because it wasn't in their language. It was in God's language. And sometimes that really kills me because God knows everything. He knows all the languages and everything. And you don't expect to get that from God, you know. He's got this understanding of everything, Hebrew, all the languages in the world. Well, Belshazzar, his white wisdom, he goes, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't understand what that means. And so his wise men said, go get Daniel. Daniel can interpret that for us, probably. He's a good interpreter. So they went and got Daniel, and Daniel told him, that's what it means. Your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting. It will be conquered, therefore, and handed over to the Medes and the Persians. And later on, the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. But before that, Belshazzar released the Jews that were kept captive. After Babylon conquered Israel and Jerusalem, he went to Jerusalem and he captured all of the scholars, all the people who were sports.
The best of the best.
The best of everything. The scholars, the PhDs, the gold.
Sculptors, artists,
everything. Yeah.
That was the best.
Yeah.
And the fittest.
He took them to Babylon.
Yeah.
To use for what he wanted to use them for. Well, somewhere along the line here, Belshazzar thought, this is not a very good idea because we're going to be conquered, so I better let the Israelites go. So he let them all, and they, in a big convoy, came back to Jerusalem, and Daniel was amongst them.
Right.
He came back. So that's a good thing. So they were there, they were in Babylon for 70 years. God was chastising them for their sins. You know, that's pretty harsh.
Disobedience.
Yeah. That's a pretty harsh. And, you know, during that time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to worship Nebuchadnezzar and his statue and all that, and so they threw them in a hot fiery furnace, and it never touched them. And then
I love that story.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it is.
And Jesus is walking around with them in the furnace in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Fascinating. It's a fascinating story. And that fire was so hot that it killed the guards when they threw those three guys in the furnace. It burned up the guards. Wow. That's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah,
so,
read that. Daniel 3.
Let me find that.
3:16.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we don't care what you think. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O God. That's a lot of courage. But if it not be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury and form and the form of this visage, face, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, therefore he spake, commanded that they should be heat the furnace one 7 times more than it won't be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind them and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats and their other garments were cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See how God's judgment fell on those who were going to kill God's people, and the fiery furnace fell on them. And the three men fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto them, the counselors, did we not cast 3 men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and hither. Then they came out of the midst of the fire. And the princess, governors, captains, and king counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed is be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants, and trusted in them, have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses be made a dunghill, because there is no God other than that God that delivered them after this sort. Then the king promoted them in the province of Babylon.
What is so powerful is verse 17 and 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Yes, and that is the decision that we face every day.
Yes.
As Christians.
And one coming.
We can't serve the golden image out there. But Satan will make it look good.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
We must know there's going to be another image.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think about that, the giant that you found on the internet, that giant statue, which hasn't been built yet, but I guess they're working on it. They could become the image of the beast, which is in Revelation. But it probably won't get completed until during the tribulation, I guess. I don't know. Don't know when it's going to be completed. But you walk into a booth, and it makes an image of you. You know, so that'd be just about perfect.
That's scary, though.
You know, for a time, the Antichrist will have control of the world.
Yeah.
And he'll enforce it with violence and death.
Yeah.
You know, but we as Christians have to stand strong against that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure God has servants out here who are wise, that know what's going on. So many Christians that have no discernment these days, have no interest in Bible prophecy, because a lot of it has to do with the prosperity movement. You're not supposed to say anything negative, and a Christian walk is supposed to be tiptoe through the tulips, you know.
Right.
Everything's rosy and wonderful and everything, but you know roses have thorns. So we got to be careful what we believe. Be careful what you believe. It's very important. They're being told by the prosperity teachers that theology's not important. Nothing could be further from the truth. You know, if you read Daniel, everything wasn't rosy all the time.
Oh, no.
Daniel was cast into the den of lions.
Yeah.
God delivered him from that, too. How many times have you been cast into the den of lions before, and God has delivered you? You know, ooh, I feel the Lord's presence there.
Even in your mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've had the Lord intervene in my mind before. You know, I was thinking about some negative thing too much. You know. But we get carried away in that negativity. God knows what to do about it. We don't necessarily have control even over our own mind, but we try.
God delivered you from, you know, other people that are listening out there. If you have a great testimony, please call in. We'd be so excited to hear it. And other people, you help other people when you tell of your testimony, what God has done for you. That number again is 740-383-9944.
Well, I'd really like to hear from you. I don't know. There must be a moratorium on calling in here when I'm here.
Not just you.
Says,
that's okay. It's out there.
Nobody wants to call in when I'm here.
Live on Facebook today. Praise God. That's working. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Nothing I did, right? It's live.
We're really reaching a lot more people on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Than we would be with the regular radio. But I'd like to have the regular radio, too.
Well, we are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a radio.
Okay.
And we stream live on the web still.
And they still don't call in.
I guess my show's not that interesting, Jeff.
It is. It's fascinating.
I have to do something about that.
I'm fascinating. Look at me. They just, I don't know. I guess they don't like the subject matter. I don't know. Are they listening at all? We don't even know. You know, it's really strange. You know, one time I was sitting there at Myers. I hadn't got out of my car yet because it was raining. But it finally stopped raining. And this guy I knew from a long time ago came walking up to my car. I didn't even hardly recognize him. It had been so long since I'd seen him. And he was wearing a mask. And I said, I don't know who you are. He took off the mask. Oh, Mark, how you doing? He said, you know, my mom listens to you on the radio. She really likes listening to you.
There you go.
I've had other people say that. This guy at Burger King, he used to ride the bus. He said, I heard you on the radio.
There you go.
The other day. I said, do you believe what you're hearing? He goes, well, I don't know. But at least he was listening.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
Yeah.
Whether they never call in, they're listening, they hear.
I think the hard point I wanted to make this time is that Christianity is the only belief system that has grace, real true grace, where you're forgiven whether you, even though we don't deserve it. But you must realize that you've fallen short of God's glory. You sinned. And people don't want to believe that, because if they believe that they have to have God's grace to be forgiven, then they have to change their lifestyle so that they're not sinning so much. And they don't want to do that, you know. So there's very few people that really want to follow God. Really.
Well, their lives become so important. And it's also about this, I think. People are, maybe they do not fear God as far as to reverence Him.
They don't have any respect.
But they are afraid to take that leap.
Yes.
They don't know the unknown. And, you know, we have fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Then you hear all these great things about this great and mighty God. He knows everything. And there are some people who are afraid, which is the wrong type of fear.
Well, what they would say to me is, like, you know, when I'm trying to witness, like going on the bus, for instance, people would, I wish I had a nickel for every time people say, well, my aunt died of cancer. We prayed for her, but she died anyways. Well, it doesn't say that everybody that prays for healing gets healed. But we do pray for them. Some people get healed. But it depends on what God's will is in that certain instance, you know.
Right.
So, they say that, you know, what good does it do to come to the Lord when we're going to die anyways? Well, yeah, that's the very point, though. Everybody's going to die.
One day.
Someday. Maybe not for a long time yet, but someday you're going to face death. And that is your assurance that, you know, if your name is written in the book of life, you're not going to have to face judgment. You know, I look at people who had a lukewarm attitude towards God. There are Christian denominations that don't take the Word of God seriously enough. And when they die, I wonder about them. You know, I knew this pastor that he thought that spiritism was okay. You know, and I was always arguing with him because he's always trying to take my mom to Spiritist Church. You know, and he was a Baptist. But he believed that it was okay, you know, and he would talk about this woman that was pastor of the Spiritist Church. You know, what I'm talking about is people who believe in calling the dead back, their spirits back, whether it's with a crystal ball or a seance, whatever they call the people back from the dead. But they're not talking to the people who are really dying and came back to talk to them, in spiritually speaking. They're talking to demons who are imitating people. You know. I don't know if I should tell this or not.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Well, this story that I've got in my head. There was a time when Mom had had a stroke, and I had her in rest homes, but I had to bring her home for a while because we ran out of money, and I had to get some Medicaid to get her back in because I'm not good at taking care of people.
Right.
And if she was in a rest home, she got everything was right there that she needed. So, but I brought her home for a while and took care of her. And she was one of those churches that are lukewarm, you know, about the Word of God. And I preached and preached and preached to her that you must be born again. I don't know. I was trying to get through to her, and some people, I think they block out the truth. Because, you know, they'll say to you, I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Right.
And I think they know what it means. You know, but I will explain to them 10,000 different ways about what being born again means. I woke up one morning in this room I was staying in, as I had Mom in my bedroom, because this house didn't have that many rooms, and she was sitting out in the living room, and she was talking to somebody. I said, who in the heck is she talking to this early in the morning? And I could hear a female voice talking to her. And I hurried up and put on my pants and my shirt. And when I opened the door, I guess the conversation was over. But she was talking to a demon that was imitating a female. As it was a female voice, yeah. So later on, I brought this subject up. Because she went to that church. A demon followed her. Out of there. You know, that stuff can happen.
Yes.
And she always maintained that she didn't believe any of that. Mm-hmm. I said, well, why are you going to that church then? Why are you going to their dinners?
Right.
You know, you won't believe in the true gospel, but you're going to a spiritist church where they believe in calling back the dead, which is called necromancy.
Right.
In the Bible. And I said, those who practice sorcery, it says in Revelation 21:8, that those who practice sorcery are going to the lake of fire.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing. You know, it's like, so what? So what that you're going to the lake of fire? So I really got mad at that pastor. I mean, I jumped down his throat. And I saw him one time at Steve Dakota's. I love to go there and eat their steak in there. I love their steak burgers. And he was there with a bunch of people. And he was sitting there. He's very smarty. You know, he's always making smart remarks and stuff. And he goes, hi, Jeffy. You know. Well, he was angry with me because I said that calling people back from the dead is sorcery. And it's absolutely forbidden. The Bible, because you're talking to demons.
So what do you think about people always putting up loved ones who have passed away, their pictures on Facebook and wishing them happy birthday? And what do you think about
I think it's borderline.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be doing that.
No, I think
it's not a good idea.
It's not. And they do it constantly. It's one family. It's always.
I'm not on Facebook. I don't like it. I don't like some of their conversations. You know, I just stay away from it. And Twitter, too.
I have the gift of scroll.
Yeah. Yeah, I have at times looked through it.
Yeah.
You know, but then they'll come on and they'll say, you don't use Facebook.
What about having a church service for a person's birthday that has passed away? What do you think about that?
You know, we have a funeral service where you can, you know,
say your goodbyes.
Say your goodbyes and, you know, what do they call that when you...
Grieve?
You can grieve, you can talk, you can give a euphemism.
Right.
Get up there and talk about that person. Yeah. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
That person's gone.
Right, they're gone.
So...
Yeah.
So I think that's very borderline. I think it's very questionable. I don't think they should be doing that. I really don't. You know, it's almost as if you're worshiping the dead. You know, and same thing as spiritism.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Okay.
I think.
I just wondered about that because it is kind of odd that now people think that they should wish people that have passed happy birthday.
They don't know you're wishing them happy birthday.
No, they don't.
I asked about that. I said, I had that question. Can people in heaven see what's going on here on earth while they're in heaven? And a person said to me, if they could see what was going on earth in there, it wouldn't be heaven.
I agree with that.
Because the earth is so messed up. Full of sin. I wouldn't. I get to heaven, I don't want to know what's going on earth. But I know I'm going to be here during the tribulation, so how much worse can it get than that?
Oh, don't ask that question, because it can get very much more worse than what yes. it is right now today.
Because and it's
right
going
now,
to.
We're okay. We're not suffering anything right now.
In America.
No.
You know, be glad you don't live in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
They were escaping the Russians, and they said that the cold there was unbearable. It was like 15, 20 degrees below zero.
Already?
They're back when during the winter.
Okay.
And they found some Russians in a tank that had froze to death. Mm. You know, because it was so cold during that time. Thank God we live in America.
Yes.
Thank God.
Thankful for that.
Yes, me too. I think about that all the time. Because when I was in the Army, I went over the border. Was stationed in El Paso at Fort Bliss. And I went over the border quite often into Mexico. And the poverty there. Oh, my gosh, man. People sitting on the border, on the edge of the border, begging for money. And they were just filth. You know.
But why do you think that witchcraft and sorcery is on the rise?
Well, it's a last days thing. And it's like, you know, Satan is promoting the occult. He's brainwashing people. Like Harry Potter. That's a perfect example of Satan using fiction to make people want that to be reality.
That was, you know, those books were given to school-age children. They read all those big old large volumes of Harry Potter.
Oh.
And it was a class, what you call a class project.
Yeah.
They had to read those books. I guess you could protest as a parent, but...
Well, that's why they have homeschooling and all that.
Two or three generations had to read Harry Potter.
Yeah. So that brainwashes people into believing that the occult's a good thing, that it's freedom, and it gives you power over people and power over situations. See? That's why it's rising. And he has to keep promoting this and brainwashing people and promoting this so that when the Antichrist comes along with his tidal wave of false miracles and false power, that they'll accept it and they'll worship him because of those miracles. Because at times past, they would have recognized him as the Antichrist. Because you could just tell that they were fake, you know.
What is a wicked?
Witches.
Witches.
Yeah. Like, you know,
we have a lot of them.
A group of witches.
Yeah.
Getting together and casting spells and stuff. Now, I have quite a bit of experience with witches that rode the bus. This is most interesting. I know why God gave me that job now. But this one woman rode the bus and she said she was a witch. She said, "But I'm a good witch. I'm a white witch, and I don't cast evil spells on people. I only cast good spells." But the problem is the Bible doesn't make that distinction. You're not supposed to be casting any kind of spells.
Right.
You know. And the way that a witch has power is through the dead, talking to the dead. Or, you know, she casting a spell. Demons are doing your work for you.
Right.
So there's no difference there. And I tried to tell her, it comes from, all that power comes from the same source, Satan.
Right.
So there's no such thing as a good witch and a bad witch. It's just witchcraft that's condemned by God. He doesn't make that distinction. He doesn't say in the Bible, now it's okay to be a good witch.
So a witch is a witch, right?
Right. Which witch is which? You know? And this idea that it's like they're riding the broom through the air, like on Halloween, and you see their shadow in the moon and all that. Some of the people who were formerly involved in witchcraft, and they did this thing called astral projection, where you leave your body and travel around, so that's representative of the witch on the broom flying around. See, so in other countries where witchcraft is so much more prevalent and so much more powerful because they believe in it so much, like in Haiti and other countries where voodoo and witchcraft is so much more prevalent, you may see things like that happen. See people flying through the air and stuff. That's what they, I've heard them said, people from Haiti that said, I ran into a, this is really weird. Well, you know, if you want to call it weird. I was in Florida visiting my cousin, Kitty Lou was her name, my mother's sister's daughter. She is my cousin. And I was running around in a rented car on a vacation. All of a sudden, I felt this strong urge to stop at McDonald's. So I went there and I got in a cup of coffee and stuff. And I thought, you know, the Lord called me to come in here. I don't know what he wants, but here I am. You know, I came outside and this bus pulled up into the parking lot. And it was full of people from Haiti. And they were Christians. And they came up and started talking to me and telling me how, you know, they just started walking up towards me like they knew who I was or something. And they were telling me how God had delivered them from witchcraft and voodoo. And he said, one of them said, God's going to greatly bless you someday, you know, for your interest in all this. And he told me some of that stuff, that the witchcraft is so strong over there, you see stuff happen. Like here, it's more subtle, you know. They have a seance or something, and you don't see anything happening, but you can feel it,
so
you know.
So how do you, if you thought or believe that someone had cast a spell on someone else, how are those spells broken?
Blood of Christ. That's the only thing that'll do it, you know. You have to pray for that person. Sometimes, you know, if you've got a demon, like I was talking to my mom, all you have to do is put in some Christian music or something like that, and they'll flee. Or just pray some and ask the Lord to deliver you from the demons that are attacking or causing problems, and they'll go. They're gone because they don't want God's presence. They're scared to death of God. Actually, they're scared to death of you. But, you know, most Christians don't realize that. The demons are terrified of us, Christians. And they'll flee if you start praying, you know.
Right, right. And, you know, I just know that some people are exercising their right to cast spells on people. Even right here, Mary.
The problem with that is you have to open up your heart to the demons and to Satan in order to do that. And it's very easy to get possessed that way, you know. You have these horrible movies like The Exorcist and The Exorcism of Emily Rose and all that. Ugh, how horrible.
I know.
And that's what Satan wants for people.
Yeah.
Is that horrible stuff.
It is horrible.
It is beyond horrible. I don't see how people think that's entertainment, watching those kind of movies. It's terrible. I watched The Exorcist when I was in the Army. I was unsaved. And I had problems with that for years. Afterwards, it scared me so bad. Did it scare you? Did you see it?
We drove all the way to Columbus, Ohio to go see that movie.
Oh.
We left that movie theater way before the movie was over.
Yeah.
We were so scared.
Oh, I know.
I
saw people get up and leave.
Yeah, I had the book at home, right, on my nightstand in my bedroom. And after I got home,
Had you got saved yet?
Oh, yeah.
You were saved?
I came to Christ when I was 12 years old, you know.
But I mean, were you with Jehovah's Witnesses?
No.
Okay.
No. But anyway, I started hearing noises.
Oh, I know.
In the apartment and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I got up, I took that book, I walked it down to the dumpster.
Yeah. Yeah. Did that get rid of the noises?
Yes.
Yeah.
That
will quite often do it.
And it was just the book itself.
Yeah. They said the book is worse than the movie.
Yeah.
That movie scared me senseless.
Yes, I would not watch it again, and I would not allow my children to even turn it on my TV to watch it.
Well, I went to an Army psychiatrist.
Did you, after watching that?
Yeah, because I was so terrified. And I was drinking. I can't tell you how awful it was. And I started getting over it a little bit when I got transferred to Germany. But I was drinking so heavy, I about got myself in big trouble drinking. But fortunately, the Lord was with me about that. I didn't get a big Article 15 or get thrown in jail or something, because I cussed out the first sergeant one time, and he pulled me in a room and he said, "You better keep your head above water while you're here, or you're going to be in big trouble. You're going to face a court-martial if you keep this up." I said, okay. So I cut back on my drinking. But I went to this, we had this big drinking party. I was working in the orderly room as a clerk. I found that to be really boring. So they sent me back to being a communications person, radio, telephone, and switchboard. And I got in there just as they were. We got this new sergeant. He wanted to fix up the communications room. So they got done with it just as I got there. And they went out to this park up in the mountains in El Paso. Had a big drinking party. And I was drinking. I thought, oh, I can handle my liquor. I drank whiskey and beer until I blacked out. And then I didn't know what I was doing. And they said I was throwing rocks at these people. Fortunately, the other picnic tables and stuff were way far away.
And this came from watching that movie?
Yeah, because I was just senseless with fear. And so finally, I think it was God's mercy, I got transferred to Germany. And, you know, the fear of that started dying down quite a bit. So I went back to kind of normal after that. But every now and then, the Exorcist fear comes on me every now and then.
Yeah, that was a terrible movie.
It really was. And then I had a friend that was heavy into, he was American Indian. His name was Mike. He thought that was hilarious that I was afraid of the Exorcist movie. And we'd be driving down the road and he'd start growling and stuff. I said, you are so stupid. And it really messed with me.
Oh, that's...
You know.
And that's not a friend.
No. Oh, he was awful. He was not a friend. He told me a bunch of lies.
He did. So he was trying to act like Satan, right, in a movie?
Oh, yeah. He loved all that stuff. Didn't bother him at all.
We are out of time, Jeff.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Jeff, for sharing all your experiences with us and Bible verses. We have so enjoyed it, and I hope that those of you who are listening enjoyed it. This is Linda Sims of Voice of a People, WGH Talk. See you next week. See you Friday with Scott Smith. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
The place is WWGH.